Hello there, everyone. My name's Andrew.
And I'm Cassie.
And this is the Culips English Podcast. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another Catchword episode. We're back with Catchword. And if you're new to the series, let me briefly explain what it is. Catchword is our series for intermediate and advanced English learners, where we teach you idioms, phrasal verbs, and expressions that will help improve your English listening and speaking. Helping me today with this episode is my co-host, Cassie. Hello, Cassie.
Hey, Andrew, and hey, listeners. So, everyone, today's episode is, like Andrew said, a catchword, and these phrases are, one, phrases I use all the time, and two, they're pretty fun. So, let me give you a little scenario before we tell you the phrases. Imagine you're planning this fun weekend getaway with your friends, and you've been looking forward to this for weeks. You're so excited. But then, one of the people in your group is being so lame. They're finding all these reasons why the trip isn't a good idea, like the weather is going to be bad, or the hotel is too expensive, or they're just so busy, there's too much driving. Like, how would you feel about this person who is, you know, like making you feel less excited about this trip?
I think we've all experienced that kind of person before, Cassie, and I can picture this scenario in my mind very vividly, and it's stressing me out, to be honest. You know, one expression that we can use, this is kind of a bonus expression for everybody, is to rain on your parade. So you have something that you're really excited about, right? You're excited about the trip, excited to hang out with your friends, and then there's that one member of the group that's complaining. That person is raining on your parade. You know, a parade is one of those kind of almost like a street festival, right? This kind of celebration that happens outside, but you can't have a very good time outside in the sun and with a festival if it's raining during that time. So that's where the origin of that expression comes from, to rain on your parade. So yeah, I think if you have somebody like this complaining, raining on your parade, then it's going to be not so fun.
Exactly. And even though Andrew gave you that bonus expression to rain on your parade, the phrases we're going to teach you today are phrases to describe that person specifically, kind of like a nickname for them. They're not good names, but it describes a negative person. And those idioms are Debbie Downer and wet blanket.
Yeah, I think everyone, you guys will have fun with this episode, because although these are expressions, like you said, Cassie, that describe people who are complaining a lot and being negative, they are rather colorful and fun. And when Cassie and I were chatting about what we're going to teach you all in this episode before we started recording, we're kind of laughing and having fun with these expressions. So they do describe people who are negative, who complain a lot, but at the same time, they are funny and yeah, they're good ones to add to your vocabulary to help you become a better English listener. Absolutely. And in certain contexts, and maybe Cassie will get into this a bit more when we get into the main content of today's lesson, but in certain contexts, they can help make your English sound really, really natural too. Although they are very informal expressions, so you do have to be aware of the context. So anyways, everyone, we'll get started with our main lesson in just a moment. But before we do, everyone, just a quick reminder that there's a transcript and a study guide available for this episode to all Culips members. In the study guide, you'll find exercises that are specifically designed to reinforce the key points covered, helping you to improve your English fluency and naturalness. Now, to get access to the study materials, the transcript and the guide, and to find out more about all the wonderful and helpful bonuses and benefits Culips members get, then please just visit our website, culips.com, or you can just follow the link in the description to sign up and become a Culips member.
And we want to give a huge thanks to all the Culips members out there who support the work we do here. You allow us to create new episodes and English lessons each and every week. Your support is amazing, and we couldn't do it without you.
And speaking of supporters, we want to give a big thanks and a shout out to Adam from Libya. Well, Cassie, I was so happy to see that we had a listener from Libya. Amazing. For those of you who don't know, Libya is a country in northern Africa, and Adam left us a 5-star rating and a nice review on Apple Podcasts. So because of that, we're going to give him a shout out. And Adam wrote in his review, "Thanks guys for this amazing content. I've been enjoying it a lot lately, and I normally understand 95% of what y'all been saying. However, I got a question. Will listening every day to the podcast without using pen and paper to write notes improve my English after like a 1-month period? Because I want to pass the FCE test at the B2 level, and I'm a B1 student at the moment." Well, Adam, first of all, thank you again for that review and your support. And I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying the podcast, and even happier to hear that you understand 95% of everything that we say. That's amazing. And that means your English comprehension is very, very good. Okay, Cassie, why don't we address the question quickly, very briefly? And I would encourage you, Adam, to check out our Discord community. You can sign up and just join the Discord by following the link that we'll put in the description for this episode. And the reason I encourage you to do that, or anyone else who has a question about studying with QLibs, is because we have great discussions on our Discord about this kind of topic all the time. And you get to interact with other QLibs listeners and find out the tips and tricks that different listeners from around the world use to improve their English with us. Of course, there's no one best way to learn English. There are many different effective methods, and everybody has their own special way that works. I would say right off the start, and Cassie, I think you'd probably agree with me here, is that when it comes to learning English, a month is like a very short period of time.
So short. You blink and it's over.
Blink and it's over. So yeah, no matter which way you study, which way you try to learn English, you can't really do too much in a month. If you're just cramming to pass an exam, it's possible, but, and I'm not super familiar with the FCE test, but I believe there are different components to it, like speaking, writing, reading, and so on. So maybe for some of those components, you could cram for the test. However, I think that maybe that time frame is too short. And when it comes to learning English or any skill, you know, to a high level, you need to invest more time than 1 month. Some suggestions that we do have here for you, Adam, are that you could practice your speaking with QLibs by maybe repeating phrases or sentences after you hear them, kind of listen and repeat. Or after you listen to the whole podcast, you could summarize it and just verbalize what the podcast content was about. Maybe some of the main points or some of the things you learned in the episode that could help your speaking. If you want to practice your writing, then you could do the same thing just with writing. You could write a summary of the episode after listening to it, or you could even jot down some new vocabulary as you listen as well. There's nothing wrong with taking some notes from time to time. Cassie, do you have any suggestions for Adam?
Yeah, I suggest that you use the transcripts and study guides that we have so you can read along as you listen. And then, you know, there's always some questions and a little quiz at the end that you can try. And you could engage with the content by, you know, going on our Discord server or talking with your friends about the QLibs episode, and maybe even utilizing the new vocabulary that you learned, like Andrew mentioned. Write down the vocabulary you don't know and then try to use it right away so you don't lose it.
Use it, don't lose it. I like that. And yeah, I think if you were to follow some of those techniques, Adam, or even to go, like I said, onto our Discord and connect with our other community members and chat with them, they'll be very helpful and give you lots of ideas for how to study with QLibs. I think if you're to do those little things, put in the extra amount of time, then before you know it, you'll be up to 100% comprehension, and you'll be saying QLibs is too easy for me now, and you'll have to leave us behind as you search for new, more challenging study materials. So that's what we got for you. And once again, thank you for that great review. And to everyone out there, please keep sending us your reviews and ratings. It really does mean a lot to us. It encourages us, it supports us, and it helps other English learners from around the world find QLibs and improve their English with us. And with that being said, Cassie, why don't we get started with this lesson? So as we mentioned at the top of the show, we are going to teach our listeners about two expressions today. The first one being Debbie Downer. Debbie Downer. And first of all, I guess let's break this down. Debbie is a woman's name, right? Short for Deborah, I believe, right? If your name was Deborah, you could shorten it to Debbie.
Yeah, it's not a super common name anymore, but like a couple decades ago, it was.
Yeah, I think it's like my mom's generation. I think my mom's got some friends named Debbie. Cassie, if you were to have a child, would you name it Debbie?
Never.
Me too. If I were to have a child, I don't think I would name it Debbie. No offense to any Debbies listening out there, but it does have that kind of older lady nuance to it. And Downer, okay, in this sense, this is kind of a joke. It's a play on words, a pun, because Downer could technically be a family name, Cassie. Like if my name was Andrew Downer, that wouldn't be too weird, would it?
No, yeah, that sounds normal.
Yeah. Okay, but also, what is the other meaning of downer if you are a downer?
Well, we've probably talked about this phrase on Q-Lips before, but to be a let down is to be like a disappointment or, you know, you're always thinking in the negative direction. Down is negative. So to be a Debbie Downer means, yeah, she's a negative Nelly.
Negative Nelly. I guess from time to time, it's true. We make these kind of nicknames for people using a first name and some kind of adjective that comes at the end, right? Like you said there, Cassie, a negative Nelly, a Debbie Downer, right? I don't know. It's a kind of fun way that English speakers can make, yeah, some nicknames to describe people who have, you know, a downer personality or a negative personality.
I just want to add, you don't want to make somebody feel bad necessarily by calling them a Debbie Downer to their face. Like if one of your friends is complaining a lot, you might a little bit jokingly say, wow, being such a Debbie Downer over here. And that makes your friend realize like, ah, I'm complaining a little bit too much, aren't I? So like you're not really saying, oh, you're so pessimistic, I don't like you, but you're just kind of showing them, hey, maybe you could have a more positive attitude.
Sure, sure. That's a good point. So, guys, the meaning of a Debbie Downer then is a person who is acting in a way that's negative or pessimistic, usually complaining about something. You know, maybe you think the situation is really good and you're very positive and optimistic about it, but you know, somebody else is complaining or a little bit negative or just not too excited to do something even, then you can call them a Debbie Downer. Now, Cassie, even though the name Debbie is a woman's name, do you think it would be okay to call a guy a Debbie Downer?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's not really specific like that, right? So, Cassie, it was interesting to me to learn the origins of this expression. And I think you too, you didn't know this, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Listeners, just wait.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that both of us didn't know this because we've used this expression really often. And it seems really natural to me to use it. And if you were to have asked me before the origin of this expression, I would have said, oh, it's probably been around since like the 50s or something. But it only was created in the year 2004 because of the TV show Saturday Night Live. And I think probably many of our listeners will be familiar with that show, Saturday Night Live. It's a live comedy show that's broadcast every Saturday night. And I guess around the year 2004, they debuted a skit where one of the characters was named Debbie Downer. And the comedic aspect of that skit was that, you know, there'd always be a group of friends, and whenever the group would be excited about something, that Debbie Downer character would always rain on their parade and complain about something. So like I was watching some on YouTube before we started, and I didn't know about this for whatever reason. I guess I just tuned out of SNL. That's what we call Saturday Night Live, SNL. I tuned out of SNL around that time, so I didn't even know about this skit or this character. But yeah, when I was watching some on YouTube today, was kind of funny. Like some friends were hanging out and Debbie Downer was with them and they were talking about steak and wanting to eat hamburgers and steak at some restaurant. And then Debbie Downer was talking about mad cow disease and just made them all feel like, ah, okay, now we don't want to eat this meat. So yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of an example of the character and the type of jokes that you could see in her skits. And guys, if you just go onto YouTube and type Debbie Downer, you could see many, many of them. I'm going to watch some more after we finish recording here, Cassie, because they are pretty funny.
That's a good point, Andrew. That's good homework for our listeners. After they listen to us and do our own examples here, they can go find some more on YouTube.
Yeah, hopefully we are funnier than SNL in our examples. That would be a real accomplishment. Anyways, everyone, so now I think you know the meaning of Debbie Downer. You know the origin story of Debbie Downer. And I guess we should briefly talk about usage, and then we'll get to some examples. From a usage perspective, Cassie, to me, this feels very, very informal. Mm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you're going to be using it with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to really use it in a professional situation. You know, if you have a great idea at your staff meeting and then one of your coworkers doesn't support your idea and then you say, why are you such a Debbie Downer? That would be, you know, not a great match, I think, for that kind of professional situation.
There would be an awkward silence after that happened.
Right. Yeah, there are better, more professional expressions you could use in that situation. But we'll save those for maybe a different episode. For today, we'll focus on the fun, informal ones. And with that being said, then let's transition into the examples. So here's the first one. Now, here we go. I think I've finally saved up enough money to buy the truck that I've had my eye on for a few years. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun to drive.
Sure. I mean, I guess if you don't mind the horrible gas mileage and expensive maintenance costs.
Why do you have to be such a Debbie Downer? Can't you just let me enjoy my idea for once? All right. In this example, we hear two friends talking, and one of the friends is talking about buying a new truck. He's been saving up his money to buy a truck, and finally he has enough. So he's going to go and buy the truck, and he's so excited. He is anticipating driving it around and enjoying that. And when he tells this to his friend responds in a pretty negative, pessimistic way, right? Instead of saying, oh, that's great, or I'm so happy for you, or supporting her friend, she does the opposite. Instead, she brings up the negative things about owning a truck, like how they don't have great fuel efficiency and how they're expensive to maintain. And so the guy who's going to buy a truck, he says, why do you have to be such a Debbie Downer? Like, can't you just let me enjoy this moment of happiness?
Yeah. Can't you just be happy for me?
Yeah, can't you just support me and be happy for me instead of being so negative? So yeah, this kind of situation is perfect to use Debbie Downer.
All right, Andrew, shall we listen to example number two?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I just signed up for this new ceramics class, and I'm really excited to start learning pottery. Making my own dishes sounds so fun and therapeutic.
You know those kilns use a ton of energy though, right? Not very eco-friendly, if you ask me.
Jeez, do you have to be such a Debbie Downer about every new interest I get? Why can't you just be supportive? All right, this example is very similar to the one before. We have two friends, and one friend is very excited about something. In this case, she is very excited about starting a new ceramics class, making pottery, bowls and plates and vases, things like that. However, her other friend, the Debbie Downer, he goes, well, you know, that hobby uses a lot of energy. Do you want to kill the environment? And she's like, really? Can't you just support my new hobby? Come on.
Exactly. And maybe some of our listeners didn't pick up on that word that we heard in the example, which is kiln. Kiln, K-I-L-N-S. In this example, it was kilns in the plural, so K-I-L-N-S. And a kiln is what you use to bake pottery, as far as I know. Is that correct, Cassie? It's like the oven that you use for firing pottery, right?
Yep, because at first it's like just the clay, and then you want to harden the clay so it stays hard and doesn't crack.
Right, so you have to put it in the kiln, but kilns, of course, take a lot of energy to heat up so hot, and so that's the point that the Debbie Downer wanted to talk about. Instead of just being like, oh, awesome, like, ah, that's great for you. No, he had to be negative, and that's why he is a Debbie Downer. Okay, so I think we are ready now to move on to our second key expression for this episode, which is another fun one and a very visual expression, I think. I love this one, to be honest. I think it's great. It is wet blanket. Wet blanket. And a wet blanket is an idiomatic expression that we use to describe someone or to call someone who, again, just kills a fun situation or kills enthusiasm because they're pessimistic or unenthusiastic or negative or they rain on your parade. Okay, a wet blanket. Cassie, what's the image that comes into your mind when you think of this expression?
Honestly, I think this is what pops into most people's minds, but I imagine like having a friendly bonfire. And then at the end of the night, you want to like get rid of the fire. So you throw a wet blanket over it and the fire dies.
Nice. That's awesome. That's totally different than my my imagination. My imagination is that you're just like walking down the street and it's a beautiful sunny day and you're enjoying life. And then somebody throws a blanket that's been sitting in like ice cold water on you. And you get hit with that cold, wet blanket. And then suddenly you're like, oh, like, oh, it's so cold. And like, now I'm soaking wet. And just like that, your mood has been spoiled, right? Because it was such a nice day and you were just loving life. And then suddenly, whew, you're cold and wet. And yeah, so kind of similar thing, right? Just different way to imagine it.
I think that wet blanket is more negative than Debbie Downer. Like we said, Debbie Downer originally started as an SNL skit. So it has this connection of comedy, of being like a funny, fun phrase. Like, don't be such a Debbie Downer. But when I hear the phrase wet blanket, it just sounds terrible. I would never, ever want to be called a wet blanket. But I wouldn't mind being called a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, I think maybe, I mean, tone and intention are very important in English with all expressions, right? You can say almost anything with the correct tone and with loving intention, positive intention behind it. And almost always you can manage not to offend somebody, especially if you're close to that person. However, if you do intend to, you know, maybe criticize somebody for being very negative and you call them a wet blanket, I do agree this could come off as stronger. So definitely, as with every expression in English, tone, the way that you say it, and intention, which is your underlying thought that you want to communicate, definitely you have to be careful with this expression. Again, very casual, very informal expression. You don't want to use it in an essay for school. You don't want to use it in the meeting room at your office. And Cassie, I think this is just my feeling. I haven't really confirmed this with any data or anything, but I think I would be more likely to call someone a Debbie Downer to their face, whereas maybe I would use wet blanket to talk about someone.
Yeah, I agree. I would never be able to call someone a wet blanket to their face. I don't think I'm mean enough. But a Debbie Downer, yeah, it's easier to use a friendlier tone.
Right. But if you were like, you know, I don't know, maybe you take golf lessons at a driving range, right? And you are hitting some golf balls and the guy beside you hitting golf balls is complaining about your swing and just being annoying and making sure that you have a terrible golf lesson. Well, then maybe after, once you're finished your golf lesson and you're back at home with your husband or with your family and you're talking, you'll be like, oh, that guy's such a wet blanket at the golf course. He's just always complaining about my golf swing. Like, ah, oh, come on. You know, that kind of situation, I think we'd use it in.
I totally agree. Yeah, you don't use it to someone's face, but you would definitely use it in a story setting, like telling someone about a person that you met that you did not like.
Perfect. Okay. And with that being said, why don't we hop into our conversation examples with this expression, wet blanket.
Hey, so I just asked John if we could play some games, you know, to liven this party up a little bit, like horseshoes or cornhole, something. I thought it could be really fun. But you know what he said?
No, what did he say?
He said, those games sound childish and boring.
What? Childish and boring? This party is childish and boring. Why is he being such a wet blanket?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, games are great.
All right, let's break this example down. So in this example, we hear a couple of friends chatting. Sounds like they're at maybe a birthday party or some kind of, you know, party, maybe a barbecue. I don't know. And they're talking about playing some games to spice the party up a little bit, to make it more fun and exciting. And they suggest playing a couple of popular outdoor backyard games to their friend, John, who is maybe the host of the party, we could imagine. The two games that they suggest are horseshoes, which Cassie, horseshoes is where you take a physical horseshoe, the kind of thing that you attach to the foot of a horse to protect their hoof, right? And you have to try and throw it around a stick. And if you can connect the horseshoe to the stick, you score some points. And cornhole is similar. It's where you have to throw a beanbag into some holes that usually are cut into a kind of box. And depending on the size of the hole, you can get more points or fewer points, right? So they suggest playing a game like this just to spice up the party and make it more fun. And then, yeah, John says, nah, it's childish, it's boring. I just want to sit around and chat or do whatever they were doing. And so, yeah, the friends call him a wet blanket just because instead of having fun and enjoying the party and doing what the guests want to do, then he just wants to, you know, do it his own way. And as a result, is kind of negative.
Exactly. How about we listen to example number two?
I was thinking we could go hiking this Saturday. You know, get out into nature, explore some trails. It'll be an adventure. Are you in?
Hiking? That sounds exhausting. And knowing our luck, it's probably going to rain like the whole time.
There you go again, being a total wet blanket. You know, a little rain never hurt anybody, and it might actually make it more refreshing.
You're right. Okay, I'll try. Let's go. All right. So in this example, we had two friends, and one friend says, hey, let's go hiking this Saturday. It'll be great. We'll have so much fun. And the other friend is being a bit of a wet blanket, and they're so negative about it. Ugh, I don't like hiking. It's gonna rain. But then they realize that, you know, they were being a little too negative. They were being too much of a wet blanket, and they decide to try the hike anyway.
Yeah. So we mentioned a little earlier, guys, that you're not as likely to call someone a wet blanket to their face. But again, as we mentioned, it's about your tone and it's about your intention. So if both of those are okay and, you know, you're not really trying to hurt the other person's feelings, you're more just trying to say like, hey, why are you being so negative? Then it can be okay. And I think that example that we just heard was a case of that. Well, everyone, that's going to bring us to the end of today's episode. Thank you, as always, for listening and for studying English with us today.
To summarize what we learned today, we learned two expressions that describe negative personalities. A Debbie Downer refers to someone who frequently points out the negative aspects of situations in a way that brings others down, brings their mood down. A wet blanket is similar. It's a person who's negative and they dampen the attitude or the atmosphere and they take all the enjoyment out of the situation.
Now it's your turn to practice using these expressions. Head on over to our Discord community and share some example sentences. The link to join is in the episode description. It's free and a great way to connect with fellow Qlips listeners worldwide.
If you like this lesson, please consider supporting Qlips. Your support allows us to keep creating quality content for English learners everywhere. The best way to support us is by becoming a Qlips member at qlips.com.
You can also support us by following us on social media, recommending Qlips to friends learning English, or leaving a review. Every little bit helps keep Qlips going. All right, that's it for now. We'll be back soon with another brand new episode, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.